This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, it's been another fascinating week in the Premier League. Perhaps nowhere more intense has the spotlight been than on Manchester United. They have now moved on and they have appointed Ralf Rangnick, a German coach, to be the interim manager until the end of this season, 6 months deal, with an option to stay for 2 years afterwards as director of football. And that is something that's intrigued people because nobody knows about Ralf Rangnick, but we are finding out. His current employer until last week was Lokomotiv Moscow. He is said to be a mentor to Thomas Tuchel at Chelsea, to Jurgen Klopp as well, and other German coaches. He moves a lot. He has achieved things. And now, anyway, to talk about that, we're going to talk to Liam Brady and John Giles. John, Ralf Rangnick has a bit of pedigree, and you've been doing a bit of research on it. He has been successful. He was very successful at Leipzig. But he has moved around a lot.
Yeah. Apparently, I mean, he wants the conditions that he wants, and he's fallen out of a few clubs that he's been involved in.
So
he's had, he's got a record, all right. He's won major trophy, I think, in Germany.
Yeah.
So he's got a good
pedigree.
Yeah.
And he got Leipzig into the Champions League, I think. But he has headed off. Now, I want to ask you and Liam about the concept. The concept being a six-month interim arrangement to manage Manchester United and then a 2 years stay afterwards as director of football. As I understand it, that's the deal. John, if that's the deal and they still say they want Pochettino, there's no way Pochettino could come in with a director of football that he doesn't know calling the shots, is there?
No, Eamon. I think that the deal seems to be that he's interim manager until the end of the season, and then he's on 2 years on a consultancy basis.
Yeah.
Now, that could be anything, Eamon. You know, what I read from him, he seems to be saying that he wants to be sort of director of coaching.
Yeah.
Right? Or director of football.
Yeah.
Now, I think Pochettino or anybody else coming in wouldn't go for that, Eamon. Because, in other words, he would be in charge of everything. And the Pochettino, for example, would be the coach.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be the manager.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a most peculiar arrangement because, you know, I can't see Rangnick just coming in on a temporary basis. I don't think he agrees with doing that himself. So they've extended by the 2 years, but we don't know yet what he's going to be. Maybe he's just a consultant, Eamon, because what he might do as well on a business level, he'd come in for the 6 months, and that wouldn't be worth his while, but he might say, well, look, give me an extension as a consultant for 2 years. So he's going to be well paid for 2 years after the 6 months is up.
Okay, Liam, this arrangement What do you make of it?
Well, it's the way a lot of top clubs are going, Eamon, isn't it? It's we've discussed this, the three of us, before.
Yeah.
You know, normally in England, the manager was in charge of everything, but those days have gone. There's very few. You probably say that you go back to Ferguson and Wenger. Maybe they were in charge of everything, but since their passing or since they've gone, it's a different story for everybody now. And this, the Ranić has a track record in developing a philosophies at clubs and bringing very good players in. I read an article in the Sunday Times yesterday by Jonathan Norcraft, and you couldn't get a more praiseworthy article than he gave. But I'm always a bit skeptical about how many players they've scouted and how many players they've developed.
Yes,
they never tell you about the ones that they've signed who didn't make it. You know, they're never mentioned. So what do I make of it? I make of it a bit like John. He's coming in for 6 months. They may say to him, look, we want you to recruit the new manager. We want you to get the fit that you want. It could be going along those lines.
And right.
It might not be Pochettino as their first choice. It might be Ranić's first choice.
Yes.
You know what I mean, Eamon?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Anything is possible with this Manchester United group, principally.
But he has a great track record. You know, the players he's bought. He bought young Elan to Salzburg, who went for a lot of money to Dortmund, and now he's probably one of the most sought after strikers in the world. Six of the Liverpool squad were his players at one time,
including Mo Salah,
Firmino, Matip, Mane. So you couldn't get a better CV as regards scouting players and signing players and developing players. And I think that's what Manchester United are hoping they've got on their hands.
Right, John. Yesterday, if he was making the call, and I suspect he was, Michael Carrick was the nominal coach or manager yesterday. Mm. Ronaldo was left out. Now, one of the features of Rangnick's coaching career is, first of all, he's admired and respected by Thomas Tuchel, the Chelsea coach, and by Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool. He is said to be the one who invented ganga pressing. Now, when I said that to you yesterday, you reminded me that Jack Charlton might have had something to say about that, because Jack believed in putting them under pressure in their own half. And in my view, also, Pep Guardiola and that great Barcelona team were doing that before I ever heard of Ralph. But maybe Ralph did invent it.
Well, I don't think anybody invents anything in football, Eamon, to be honest.
Yep.
Look, if you go back to the old days, I don't want to be bragging here, I mean, but Don Revie at Leeds United, when we were at our best in the 70s, that was one of the first things we started doing.
Yeah,
not us. It happened before that. I mean, when I was at Manchester United with Jimmy Murphy, and he was in charge of bringing the kids forward. That's what Jimmy Murphy did. Anybody, it was if you weren't getting after the opposition when you lost the ball, you had to do it. You know, and it's become fashionable now in a certain way. Maybe the people are doing it a bit more, but that was always the way. When you hadn't got the ball, you were obliged to get it back, and when you had the ball, you were obliged to use it as best you could. That's as old as the hills in football, Eamon.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't believe that was invented. I think it's... I think it's more
an evolution.
Emphasis.
Yeah, it's an evolution.
But the idea always was that, you know, with Jimmy Murphy, I was played for Jimmy Murphy in the youth team. You were there when Jimmy Murphy was there. Jimmy was a great coach, but a hard man. If you weren't pressing the opposition, he'd go mad.
Yeah. Now, Liam, the organised press, I mean, it's certainly something Jurgen Klopp used at Dortmund. But I do believe, I mean, you played for Jack, and Jack had this very, I thought it was a very good idea that you press teams in their own half, particularly European teams who didn't like it up them, as they say. Well, that's what they used to say.
No, well, that's what we were told to do, Eamon, and we did it very well, and he carried on. You know, I finished in 88 practically, and they carried it on to
bigger and better things. The thing with Jack is he didn't really want to play football.
Yeah.
He just wanted to get the ball back and then, you know, get the ball into the opposition box and hope for mistakes and things like that. He didn't want to play creative football. But, you know, if you go back to John mentioned his time at Leeds, Liverpool were great at, you know, pressing you, not giving you time and the ball, getting stuck into you. As John says, this has been around a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, yesterday now, Liam...
Well, yesterday I didn't really see it. I saw it after the kickoff, Eamon, but I didn't really see it after that. United never got a kick of the ball, really, yesterday, did they?
No, they were hopeless at the gang of pressing and everything else. Ronaldo was left out. That suggests to me, and I wonder if you and John agree, I'll ask you first, Liam. It suggests to me that the idea was to gang of press. Ronaldo doesn't do that. So they dropped him. I don't think Michael Carrick dropped him, but what do you think?
Well, he's certainly not suited. I think John said this last week. He's never done it, Ronaldo. He's always kind of stood about, waited for the ball to come to him, and then he does his magic, whether he was on the wing or he was up front. So he's not going to take part in that. And if that's the route that Ranić wants to go, well, you know, Ronaldo might be just a sub that comes on 20 minutes from the end when the opposition are a bit tired.
Right.
You know, that could be the way they're going. But I don't think the system of pressing actually took place yesterday.
No,
Chelsea totally
didn't.
Outplayed them.
Yeah.
I didn't understand Fernandes where he was playing. You know, he was kind of playing in the middle of the of United's two wingers, but he hardly ever got on the ball. You know, so I didn't quite understand the system, and I don't know whether it was Carrick or whether it was Ranić. We probably never know that.
No, John, Gary Neville suggested that Darren Fletcher he's now got a role. In the setup with Michael Carrick, he had an earpiece in, and Gary Neville has suggested that Ranić was communicating with Darren Fletcher and he was passing the orders on. But the point Liam makes is dead on. I didn't think United pressed or did anything else yesterday, and Fernandes, for example, had a nightmare. They were very, very poor and could have been two or three down at half time.
Well, and yesterday, Eamon, as we saw, what a mess the club is in to be in the position they're in, that Gary Neville is assuming or suggesting that they might be on the phone to Carrick. What's he going to do? He's an interim manager till the end of the season. He's got a 2-year extension on that as some sort of a consultant. What's going on? You know, to be in this situation, Eamon, Manchester United... you know, we don't know what's Ronaldo going to do. Is he going to be part of the setup? Is he not going to be part of the setup? They've just bought him. He scored about 10 goals for Manchester United at the moment, so he's done his bit, in my opinion. It's a total mess, Eamon.
Yes.
And how they're going to do it, I think it's complicated now as to what's actually going to happen and how they're going to come out of this.
Right.
For a club of the state of Manchester United, it's a disgraceful position to be in.
Right. Liam, before we move on, Chelsea were missing some very big players yesterday. Lukaku, of course, but Mason Mount, Kante as well. Ben Chilwell's looks like a cruciate ligament problem now. And I want to ask you about Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi and Pulisic, all of whom. Pulisic came on, but Loftus-Cheek was on for 90 minutes. I never saw him make a contribution to the game. Hudson-Odoi, so-so. I was praising Tuchel for getting a tune out of some of these young lads, but when you look at them, and you were in the same position with as head of the academy at Arsenal, Loftus-Cheek and Hudson-Odoi, they're not going anywhere, are they?
Well, I don't know about that, Eamon. I think they'll have their part to play over the course of a season. You know, you can't be playing... Now, Chelsea are trying to win 4 trophies, you know.
Yes.
And you're going to have to share the workload. Players are not going to be able to play... game after game, week in, week out. So I think, you know, if they had taken their chances yesterday, you wouldn't be saying to me about Hudson-Odoi and might not be good enough for Loftus-Cheek and might not be good. I thought they did all right, to be quite honest. I thought Chelsea dominated Manchester United, and it wasn't for, you know, the missing of real good chances, they'd have run out easy winners.
Yeah, they would have. And just
But they are, sorry, I mean, they are going to miss when the top players are out. They need to get Lukaku back, you know, Werner.
Yeah.
No, I would have picked him as being one of the worst players for Chelsea yesterday.
He was. He missed time after time. Just a final question to both of you about Sancho, Jadon Sancho, John. He scored for United in the Champions League in midweek, and he scored again yesterday. Now, Jorginho made a horrendous mistake, but he still had quite a way to go. And sometimes when you have that kind of time, guys screw it up. But he was clever and cool, and he tucked it away, and he tucked his goal away in the Champions League as well during the week at Villarreal. It's a mystery how Ole Gunnar Solskjaer didn't start this lad from the moment he came.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he looks
a
decent player.
When you look back at the Solskjaer management, I mean, I don't really know. I don't think he knew what he was doing. I don't think he had any plan and what he was going to do, what he's going to, you know, did he buy Ronaldo in? Was he in charge of the situation?
Yeah.
You know, I think it was just a boy trying to do a man's job.
Right.
But as far as Sancho is concerned, he looks a very, very talented lad, Eamon.
Yeah.
But I mean, if this new guy comes in and he wants a pressing game, I can't really see him doing that, Eamon.
No.
Maybe you know
not.
What I mean? I see him in the game, but I can't even have a picture of him getting back to dispossessing an opponent in any of the matches I've seen so far. So he's very talented, lad. There's no doubt. The way he took his goal yesterday, he's very quick, good control, good finisher. But if this lad, this new guy, if just gets a grip of him and one or two of the young lads there, Eamon, you know, I don't think they have that work ethic in them at the moment. And I don't think he has, but he's very, very talented, lad. There's no doubt about that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, Liam, just to fast forward, Arsenal go to Old Trafford on Thursday night this week and they beat Newcastle 2-0. Hard work for a while. Just saying, passing, Eddie Howe has his work cut out with Newcastle United. But Saka and this lad Martinelli scored the two goals for Arsenal. Martinelli in particular, he's been in and out of the side, but he looks a talented lad, Liam. Is he as good as I think he might be?
Well, he started off like a house on fire. And, you know, we thought we had a really great player. But Arteta went kind of lukewarm on him, you know. And we hasn't really featured all that much.
Yeah.
But he's very lively. And, he took his goal brilliantly yesterday, but I wouldn't see him maintaining his place or retaining, should I say, his place. I think it'll be always Aubameyang or Lacazette. I don't think Martinelli would replace, for example, Old Trafford on Thursday night. I don't think he'd be playing. Saka was very good again. Emile Smith Rowe was very good again.
Yeah.
Newcastle were so. Eddie Howe really has his work cut out if they're going to stay up. It's going to be a really tough ask for him. But Arsenal are in with a shout for the top four, which I would never have thought at the start of the season. And it's only because Man United have been poor. Leicester are not on the scene.
Spurs.
Tottenham are not really on the scene. So Arsenal have got a chance. And I think they've got a chance at Old Trafford. The way Man United played yesterday, what I saw, is Arsenal would have every chance of getting a result. Now, Arsenal have to start to do something against the top teams.
Yeah.
They played Chelsea, got well beat. They played Man City, they got hammered. They played Liverpool and they got hammered, Eamon. They've been getting their wins against teams that they ought to beat. Do you know what I mean?
I do indeed.
So they haven't been particularly impressive. But, you know, going to Old Trafford on Thursday night, I think they have a real chance.
Right. And that'll be an interesting game, John. Two great clubs that are having a hard time. I want to ask you, John, about Liverpool. They're scoring incredible amounts of goals, 4-0. Now, it's only Southampton. But again, Jota, two goals, should have had a hat-trick, could have had a hat-trick. If they could sort their own defence out, I still think they're the best team in the league. But I am a biased a bit.
Well you're trying to be a bit biased, Eamon. Sorting the defence out is a big business, Eamon. Of course, they're going to be one of I'd probably make them favourites for the league.
Yeah.
And that's my own opinion on it. You know, they're scoring goals. They're doing well. They're working hard. They're doing all the things that Klopp wants them to do and have done in the past. There's no doubt about that. So I'd say, I think Chelsea will still be there. Manchester City will still be there. But at the moment, it was putting a bet on.
Yeah.
I'd probably put a few bob on Liverpool.
Yeah, and Liam, there is an issue there, and it may affect Arsenal as well. The African Cup of Nations is on, and Klopp is likely to lose Mane and Salah for, it could be, 6 weeks or 5 or 6 weeks. That's a long time. And that's a real bummer, isn't it? I think Arsenal have one or two players in the same situation, don't they?
Yeah, I think most clubs will have, you know, there's a lot of African players playing in the Premier League now, whether it's North Africa or the rest of Africa, there's a lot of them playing. So it's going to be a difficult ask for Liverpool to keep it up without those two, because they've been absolutely brilliant in recent weeks.
Yes.
They'll always give the opposition a bit of a chance simply because they push so many men forward, Eamon, and sometimes they leave two against two at the back, so teams can get in. Sometimes they can be a bit casual as well, but they are a super team. You know, they're great to watch. They're the best team for me to watch and have been. Well, they weren't last year because they lost their way, but over the last three seasons, maybe three and a half seasons, they've been the team to watch.
They have, and in the Champions League, they've been scintillating as well in what wasn't the easiest of groups. Now, guys, Steven Gerrard, he did a really good job at Rangers, big time, over a period of years. When he went up there, Celtic were the top dogs, and he got Rangers sorted, and they're way ahead now of anyone else in Scotland. And he appeared not just in the results, but the way he conducted himself in interviews and in general. And he's gone to Villa and he's had a good start. Good win at Palace on Saturday, 2-1. And they won the first game at home. It's a very interesting development, isn't it? That he's gone to the Premier League. He's taken on a tough job. Villa were really looking at as if they might be involved in a relegation fight. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's been very impressive, Eamon,
yeah,
what he's done.
and surprised me. I watched him for years as a player and terrific player for Liverpool, as we know. But I didn't see him as managerial material, Eamon, funny enough.
Yeah, I understand you. Yeah, Nick, he didn't appear to be a tinker.
No, but I've seen statements from players who played with him, and he's different, certainly different to what I expected him to be, reading about him.
Yes.
And he's certainly shown it so far, doing the job at Rangers and coming to Villa and starting really, really well. And I thought he was very impressive in the after-match interview.
Yes.
He spoke really, really very, very well. He wasn't getting carried away with himself, and he was, you know, the people when they were interviewing him once, didn't say anything that he shouldn't be saying. So he's been very impressive. And what I've read about him, for people who knew him as a player, I see a different person altogether. So
yes.
The start he's made has been exceptional. Really has.
But Liam, you know that territory up in Glasgow. It's hard to manage there, one of those two big clubs. And there are all kind of traps you can fall into. But he negotiated that impeccably, it seems. And he seems to have a bit of something about him. As John said, I watched him interviewed by Gary Lineker the other day. Not getting carried away, very calm, level-headed, polite. But the performances of his teams, and performance in particular, and what he did at Rangers over a period of 4 or 5 years, was hugely impressive.
Well, I don't think he was there that long, Eamon, but... I think it might have been 2.5.
Right.
His first year, he struggled. He inherited a lot of poor players. Celtic were, as you say, totally dominant. And it took him a year and a half, I think, to get the players in he wanted to get in.
Yeah.
And once he did that, they turned it around and he won the league last year. And they're on top of the league. He's left them in a good position when he went to join Villa. And Villa, I think it's going to take him a bit of time, and that's going to be the real examination of Steven Gerrard now, is who he brings in, because they've got Chinese ownership at Villa, if I'm right, and they have spent a lot of money. So they'll if the way Gerrard's going, they'll want to back him, and it's the players they bring in, because Aston Villa really don't want to be mid-table, Eamon.
No,
I think Gerrard would like them to be mid-table or finish at least mid-table this year after he's come in and they were in a very poor position. But John will know, having lived in the Midlands, Villa see themselves as a big club and they want to be pushing for that top six position. Now, to get there, I don't think he's going to get there with that squad he's got. So what's going to be the examination for Steven Gerrard, I think, is who he brings in and how well they do for him to push him towards that top six.
Yeah, there's no doubt, John, is there, that Villa do see themselves as a big club. They won the European Cup, I think it was 1992.
No, 1981,
Eamon. Oh, Jesus.
Time's moving on. 81.
81?
Mm.
Blimey. Anyway, John, they definitely do see themselves as a big club, and their support is huge in the Midlands, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they are a big club, Eamon.
Yeah.
You know, they have the crowd, they have the ground, they got everything there. Like all big clubs, they need a good team.
Yeah.
But once they have the resources now, and for Steven Gerrard to do his stuff, but they have the support, they have the ground, they have everything that's there, Eamon, to be one of the top teams.
Yeah.
Now, what they need, obviously, now, like all the big clubs, a successful team on the pitch. That's the ultimate. So, as Liam said, if he's given the go ahead to get the players in that he wants, that they don't have a director of football and all that carry on, and let him go and get it done. And he started very well. He's done well at Rangers, and he started very well at Villa. So it looks good for him at the moment, Eamon.
Yeah,
and hopefully that he will be backed and he can get on with the job.
It's early days. Just a couple of more quick points, Liam. Everton, absolutely crippled by injuries. Calvert-Lewin, the centre forward, is the most obvious, but there's a lot of players missing. Richarlison was out because he's been suspended. And, you know, they went away to Brentford. They lose 1-0. They got Liverpool on Wednesday night. Now, Rafa Benitez is a proven top-class coach, But you can be killed if you get a run of injuries at a club like Everton.
Yes, and to your important players, Eamon, and that's what's happened at Everton.
Yeah,
they haven't got that much depth in the squad, and they haven't got, you know, even to pick 11, you'd have weaknesses in the team if you were to pick your best 11, in my opinion. So it's a long-term fix there. But again, the fans are very demanding. So I don't know. The ownership's at Everton is new in the last couple of years, so they're going to have to sit tight. I think what's gone wrong at Everton is what John complains about most weeks, is that they've had a director of football bringing in the players, and he's not responsible what goes on the pitch, but he brings them in, and then the coach has got to get on with them, and they've not really been good enough. It's not being good enough to compete. So I think it's a long-term fix. Nobody's going to come in and wave a magic wand there, even Rafa Benitez.
No, and he did start really well, John, which will help him now because the injury list is so crippling as to be obvious, even to the dumbest director. Just a final question, John, about Manchester City. They got the job done against West Ham. It's the second last question, actually. You saw the game. It's a three-horse race, you could say, between Chelsea, City and Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I can't see anybody else challenging them. They've been impressive, City, in recent matches, I mean, considering that they don't have a centre-forward, you know, a goal-scoring centre-forward.
Yeah.
But they're getting players coming in, getting the goal here, a goal there. Enough to do it, and West Ham, as we know, would have been you would expect to be a big match for them, but they won it pretty comfortably, Eamon. So they're still there. Obviously, Chelsea, Liverpool, City are the big teams.
Leeds at Brighton, John, were blessed. They were terrible. Although the longer the game went, I think Brighton felt they were cursed on the night. They should have had four or five in the first half.
I'd be worried about Leeds at the moment, Damien.
Right.
Worried for them. I mean, Phillips came off at half-time. Apparently, there seemed to be a bit of a row between him and Bielsa.
Yeah.
They were very lucky, Eamon. They've had a couple of injuries, all right. But they don't have a big squad. You know, Bamford didn't play. Ailing, two of their best players.
Yes.
They don't have a big squad if they get their main players injured. And you're bound to get injuries during the season. But at the moment, I'd be worried for them.
Right. Liam, Brighton is your local team. They're bloody good, play great football, but they can't put the ball in the net.
No, and they got booed off, can you believe it, yesterday. I was reading locally, I heard the local radio and things like that. The manager can't believe him. He's got them eighth in the league. They're probably 18th when it comes to spending, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And he's done a great job.
They're getting booed off. I think it must have been the weather at the American Express Stadium. It must have been the weather. It must have been so cold. But they're not in the real world, are they, when they're booing a team that's eighth in the league. And as you say, totally outplayed Leeds and just missed chance after chance.
Yeah, and there's a fantastic little right-back, Lampy. He's dazzling, isn't he?
Yeah, they got him from Chelsea. He's a flyer. He's up and down. He can dribble. He gets back, tackles and things like that. Yeah. I think Potter's done a marvellous job.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that. Okay, John, Giles and Liam Brady, we're so lucky to have you and so grateful to you for joining us today. Thank you very much indeed. That was John and Liam. We're grateful to them. Grateful to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.